do it, I guess we
just put it right here.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like the TV's working. So as you might gather by the slide, we have glasses that are half full and glasses that are half empty. You know, it's an expression that we use here in America. And so my question is, you know, which one are you? When you answer that question, is your glass half full or half empty? Anybody want to share their?
Empty.
Half empty?
Empty,
yeah. Half full. And
half full. But
half full.
I feel like maybe I need a second outside opinion about which I really
am. How about a 50-50? Half the time I'm full and half the time I'm
empty. Yeah. Yeah. I want to know half full is being positive, half empty is being negative.
Yeah.
Fully empty, how about that?
They're both full. Mm-hmm. Water and air.
Yeah, ooh. Oh. Probably shouldn't have asked the question. Well, based on your answers, though, what does your answer say about yourself? What does it say about how you think about yourself and your outlook on life? Are you blessed or are you hopeless? It's kind of the way I look at it. But really, the Bible tells us our cup runneth over. Turn with me to Psalm 23, and let's refresh ourselves with this one.
Say this one by heart. The only one. Maybe.
Okay, Psalm 23.
The Ferraris have a long history with this set.
Alrighty. You there? Probably most of you know this one by heart anyway, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we read this, we see how God is with us at all times. We depend on him for all things. His rod and his staff, they are a comfort. Why are they a comfort? Well, we know that he's protecting us, but he's also protecting us from ourselves at times, setting up those boundaries, keeping us within them. Or if we wander out, he pulls us back into safety and to the family. And he's constantly trying to lead us to the things that are good for us, the quiet waters, the green pastures. He's ministering to us by anointing our head with oil. So God is always there for us. So this, to me, is kind of the core to the question of whether you're blessed. Because blessing comes from God, and he's always there. And we might think at times that our glass is half empty, three quarters empty, all the way empty. But God is always there to bless us. Next slide. So here's the statement. The statement that I want to drill into everyone, if it isn't there already, and that is, I am blessed. I am blessed. We just read in Scripture how the Lord blesses us. He's our shepherd. He's guiding us. He's always there for us. But when we say, I am blessed, it's an answer of conviction and faith. I'll bet you the struggle you go with on whether or not to say that statement, I am blessed, hinges upon, do I feel blessed? Am I feeling happy? Am I feeling like everything's going my way? But when we say I am blessed, it is so much more than that. It's a statement of conviction. Do we believe? Do we accept? Do we absorb? Do we understand and acknowledge what we just read in Psalm 23? We are blessed. It's a statement of faith that this blessedness, that being blessed, is not a momentary thing. It's a state of being. It's true now, and it's going to be true tomorrow. It's going to be true next year, because God is always there. He doesn't change. And He is the one blessing us. So when we say I'm blessed, it's not temporary. It's not situational. Sure, we get blessed, but that isn't just the moment that you're blessed. I mean, right. you're acknowledging that's just one more blessing.
I was still blessed in Albuquerque for a week.
Yeah.
Even though I wouldn't have picked that blessing.
So it's also the answer to how are you? When people ask how you are, that's the answer. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Because you're convicted, you know it to be true, and it's not something that is fleeting. You need to be able to say it with that conviction, not because, again, like I said, you're feeling happy or you know, you just got a nice tax return or whatever it is that causes you to be happy and worry-free. How are you? It's this, you know, when you're asked that is, what's your state of being right now? Mm-hmm. You know, amen. I'm blessed. You know, they're not asking, how are you feeling? I mean, they might ask you that, but you can come up with a different answer for that. But how are you?
And the definition of blessed is, at least what I read recently, was anything that brings you closer to God. So it may not be a joyous thing that brings you closer to God, but you're still blessed because Amen. You indeed are closer to God for it.
Amen. We praise Him in the storm.
Right.
Heard that somewhere too.
Yes.
So close your eyes for a moment and just take a deep breath and think. And listen, reflect, blessed. It means we have been given something from God or others. What is that? What is that? It's life. It's every breath that we have, every beat of our heart. It's eternal life. Our family, our church, food, clothing, shelter, His Spirit. Blessed speaks of our inner state of well-being, the prosperity of our souls in Christ. Blessedness comes from unhindered fellowship with God through our Lord Jesus. To be blessed is to experience the full impact of God's presence in our lives now and for all eternity. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Don't fall asleep. I'll carry on. Webster's dictionary, the 1828 version, says that blessed, in its participle passive voice, make happy or prosperous. Extolled, pronounced happy. As an adjective, it means happy, prosperous in worldly affairs. Enjoying spiritual happiness and in the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity. This statement, I am blessed, is an attitude of thanksgiving. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. We're told to give thanks in all circumstances. When we say I am blessed, it's also an expression of thanksgiving. And it's towards the one who does the blessing. Now, God may use others to bless us, but all credit goes to God. It's not a statement of performance and strength. So we can't say, I am blessed with pride in our heart, pride of self-doing, accomplishment. Because being blessed is not earned. It's given by God because of who He is. It's not an emotion of being happy. Although sometimes the word is translated as happy. But it's more as a state than a moment. It doesn't really mean I am wealthy. When you say I am blessed, I am wealthy. I mean, it could include that. Financial wealth is just one of many blessings that God might give us. And it's certainly not the only one. It's not necessarily the best one. And me, personally, I would go so far as to say it's pretty low on the totem pole. I think it brings more problems to people, especially spiritually, than it does a sense of well-being and happiness. You know, we are constantly testifying here that God knows what we need, and He gives us what we need. He meets our needs, and we recognize that. The thing about blessing or being blessed or the state of blessedness is that it's there during the good times and the bad. And that's why we were singing this morning, praise you in the storm. Can you praise Him in the storm? Have you? Will you? Do you recognize that we need to thank God even in those tough times? We need to recognize that we're blessed in the good and the bad. So, is your glass half full or half empty? What I want to say is that being blessed is a function of focus. What is our eye focused on? Is it focused on God? Is it focused on our physical things that are around us or the physical events that are happening at that time? Or is it focused on God? So being blessed is a function of focus. And that's how we can say when we're dragging and we're not feeling good and somebody says, how are you? You know, we can confidently say, I'm blessed. So when are we blessed? When are we blessed? I was going to say, let's turn to Psalm 63, but somehow God had my wife read that. So let's turn to Psalm 65. Kind of communicates a similar message. Psalm 65. There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God. And to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. We, you know, regardless of voluntarily not, all will come to Him. All will stand or kneel before Him. Verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgression, you, God, forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you chose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. So being blessed is also a way of saying, I'm satisfied. God has given me what I need, and I will be happy with that. Not complaining, oh, you didn't give me enough, I need more, but we will be happy with what we have. He knows what we should have and how much of it we should have. By awesome deeds, you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. You are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by His strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. Are you seeing how the psalmist is basically saying, I'm counting my blessings? You know, he's acknowledging even the things we take for granted because they're there every single day because of God's faithfulness. You shall visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You shall greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly. You settle its ridges. You soften it with showers, and you bless its growth. All of those things that just happen, they just, you know, this week, last week or two, Adrian and I have been like amazed. She planted some tulip bulbs last winter with Bethy out in front of her house. And I don't know why we're amazed, but we go out there, wow, they're growing. Look at, there's flowers coming out. You know, God is faithful. We didn't have to do anything. We just put it in the ground. 11, you have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. Amen. So when are we blessed? According to the psalm, it's when?
All the time.
All the time. You know, our issue is we've got to just acknowledge it and recognize it. Well, not every day is peachy keen, is it?
No, it sure is.
But are we blessed during those times too?
Yep.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and this is one that I think is beneficial for us to kind of remember or memorize or have on the tip of our tongue. 2 Corinthians 4. And this is Paul basically testifying about his blessing, his being blessed. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Are you there? But we have this treasure, and he's referring to what he just said in the previous verse. That treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So we have that treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Here's the fun part. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Anyone been afflicted lately? Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Forsaken, we don't use that word very often, but you know, we're not forgotten. God has not forgot about us. When we go through these persecutions and trials and tribulations, he's still there. He has not forgotten about us. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So what he's saying there is, even though we physically suffer, we have physical problems, we may get physically attacked. When we're persecuted, it may be a physical persecution. And we read many stories in the Bible, and even going on today throughout the world, there are Christians who are being martyred or attacked or imprisoned simply for their faith. So Paul is reminding us to have this in ourselves, that we who have Christ in us are caring about his death. And we are testifying by our presence, by our faith, how Jesus went through that, and he went through it for us, and that his life will be manifested in us. In other words, we just celebrated the resurrection, that Jesus is alive, and that he's given each of us a promise that he will return to get us. He's given us a promise that we will be resurrected to life, eternal life. There's a great website called gotquestions.org, and they define being blessed as a spiritual state of well-being and prosperity, a deep, joy-filled contentment that cannot be shaken by poverty, grief, famine, persecution, war, or any other trial or tragedy that we would face in life. In human terms, the situations depicted in the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit and all those situations depicted are far from blessings in the human terms. But because God is present with us through these difficult times, we're actually blessed by them in Him. Jesus says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are mourning, the meek, those who desire to be righteous, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, those who are insulted and slandered are blessed. So you see, in every situation, every station of life, every season of life that we have, we are blessed. And it's my hope today that you realize that you have this change of heart and understanding about yourself. What are you doing with your blessings? What are you doing with your blessings? Some would say that we're blessed to be a blessing. How many of you, I know some of you say that and believe it and do it. So we are to be a blessing to others. When we are asking the question, what are you doing with your blessings? We are blessed to be a blessing to others. In Luke 14, Jesus says that if we help the unfortunate, the downtrodden, the beaten down, we will be blessed. Even though they can't repay you. In fact, he says, you want to help those who you know ahead of time can't repay you. Often, we have people that come to the church and they want to borrow money. You know, they have a need and they want to borrow money. And we have to tell them, you know, we're not a bank. We don't make loans. We're either going to help you or not. So we find a way to help. And in the same way, when you're thinking about helping someone, do you decide to help them or not help them? Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I wonder if I'll get paid back. I wonder if they'll repay me. I wonder if they'll do something for me. But we have to do it with no expectation of return. And if we will, that's when God says, we are blessed.
I kind of feel like I have to do it because I've been so blessed.
Yeah.
Kind of the opposite. And it keeps happening that every time I try to be a blessing, he won't leave it alone. He blesses me again. And I go, wait a minute, I was trying to bless you. You know?
Yeah. That's the right attitude.
Sometimes it comes back in a different form.
Yep.
May not be what you helped out with, but then you got paid back in another way.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
$200 worth of Bitcoin got turned into $50,000.
Yeah, amen.
In Deuteronomy, in the law, when God was giving the law, he had this sabbatical year, the seventh year. And there was all kinds of things that were supposed to happen then, or you were supposed to do. And one of them, he says, you shall give generously to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. And this is your debtor. So if somebody owes you money, at the seventh year, you were to forgive their debt. You were to give to them generously. Because of this thing, the Lord your God will bless you. So if you follow this Sabbath rule, the seventh year, and you forgive your debtor, God will bless you. We think, oh, I'm going to lose something. I'm going to lose some money. But it says God will bless you. He'll bless you in all your work, in all your undertakings. For the poor will never cease to be in the land. The poor will never cease to be in the land. If there's one thing I've learned being here in Aspen Springs for 10 years, is the poor will never cease to be in Aspen Springs. Not everybody is going to become rich. And we need to think about how we help poor people or people in need just because of Jesus. not because we think we've served all the poor people and there's no poor people left. They're always going to be here. They're always, and so we always have some ministry to do. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. Freely. You might have to do a little heart work before that happens. And God will graciously help you out by bringing somebody needy to you to give you a chance to work it out, to try it out.
And your wealth doesn't make a difference to how needy or not you might be.
Exactly.
The rich guy, one of the rich guys need the Lord way more than the poor do.
Yeah. I would think. And some of us might be saying, well, hey, I am the poor. And that may be true, but God is there and he knows what our needs are. And he gives us some clues on how we can pull ourselves up or how he will work with us. And that is, we need to help the poor. We need to help the needy. We need to bless them, bless the weak. He says, see if I have the scripture handy here. If we are to bless the weak and the unfortunate, you know, he will bless us. And this can't be like, okay, I'm going to do this one situation right here, and about 10 minutes later, I'm expecting that blessing. Just as Don was saying, it comes at different times in different ways. So it has to be pure and genuine. Another way, in James, it says, look into the law of liberty, and by doing that, you will be blessed. We are free in Christ. And if we look into the law of liberty and how to live it out, we will be blessed. Just the act of doing it and considering it. Okay, last one. So, what are some of the ways that we're blessed? You know, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling low energy, you're feeling lost or angry or, you know, aimless, what's the solution to that?
Count your blessings.
There we go.
One by one.
Count our blessings. It is so important because I think if we don't take the moment to count our blessings, if we don't make it a regular practice, we're prone to just spiral down into all manner of bad things. Anyone have some blessings that you remind yourself of when you need to count your blessings?
Wake up every morning.
Sorry?
Wake up every morning.
Wake up every morning, yes. Whether it's here on earth or up in heaven, right?
That's right.
Anybody else? What are some blessings?
Going to work. Earning a paycheck.
There you go. Yeah.
Family.
So you can
family.
Hot water.
Yeah, we take that for granted.
Even just water out here in Aspen Springs.
You know, that reminds me, we had a pastor here, we support him in India, Pastor Diamond. And when he was here visiting, he opens up and says, y'all got it lucky here. You can step into a tub and open up one knob for cold water and open up the next knob for hot water. Because right at that time with his deal, they had to walk down to a river and gather up water, and they had to gather up wood and boil their water and all that stuff. Not just turn on two knobs and we're on our way. So
yeah,
I haven't forgotten that, as you can see.
I mean, so many people around the world are in so much poverty than even the most impoverished here in this country. So you got to feel blessed just being born here.
Amen.
Growing up, I always told our kids, you're not living in a garbage dump in India.
Yeah.
I mean, put it in perspective.
Yeah. I've been to those.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
I actually went to one, and it was in the shadow of this high rise. And all of these people were the workers building that high rise. But they were literally living in just whatever trash they could assemble into a hut. A lot of them just had sticks with black plastic on them. And we actually held a church service there. It was just insane.
In Jamaica, they got the cardboard houses.
Yeah.
You know, cardboard's a big asset, or what do you call it? Commodity, yeah. Yeah, you find a cardboard box and, well, I can pack my roof today.
Yeah. So, you know, when we're feeling maybe a little sorry for ourselves, just remind yourself, count your blessings, and just see how God can pull you out of the pit.
Amen.
And get your mind off of yourself.
Exactly.
Turning outwards, that's the biggie.
Amen.
That's, my all life right. always goes better when I turn outward instead of inward.
Amen. Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.